You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of a Collected Works, Volume 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ita Wegmann, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, formerly known as Fundamentals of Therapy, translated by Anna Mois. This is Chapter 12, entitled Development and Separating Off Processes of the Human Organism. Like other organisms, the human body develops from a semi-fluid state. Development always requires a supply of gaseous substances, however. The most important of these is oxygen, which is provided via the breathing process. Let us, first of all, consider a solid part, for example, a bone structure. It is secreted from the semi-fluid element. The capital I organization is active in this process of secretion. Anyone can see this if they follow the development of the skeletal system. It evolves to the degree to which the individual gains his human form as an expression of the I organization in the embryonic and childhood periods. The conversion of protein, which is the basis of this, initially involves removal of the astral and etheric foreign forces from the protein. The protein goes through an inorganic state. It has to become fluid in the process. In this state, it is taken hold of by the I organization, which is active in warmth, and made part of the specifically human ether body. It becomes human protein. There is a long way to go yet before it becomes bone substance. Following conversion into human protein, it has to mature so that it can take in and give new form to calcium carbonate, phosphate, etc. This requires an intermediary stage. It has to come under the influence of the process in which gaseous matter is taken in. This brings the carbohydrate transformation products into the protein. Substances result that can provide the basis for the development of individual organs. These are not ready-made, organ-specific substances, such as liver or bone substance, but a more general substance from which all the individual organs of the body can be developed. The I organization is active in creating the final configuration of organs. The astral body is active in the above-mentioned, as yet undifferentiated, organ substance. In the animal, this astral body also takes it upon itself to create the final configuration of organs. In man, astral body activity, and hence animal nature, only provides the general background for the I organization. Animal development is not taken to its conclusion in man. Its progress is interrupted, with the human aspect imposed on it, as it were, by the I organization. This I organization lives entirely in states of warmth. It evolves the individual organs out of the general astrality. The way it works on the general substance provided by the astral principle is to either increase or decrease the state of warmth in an organ preparing to come into existence. If it reduces it, inorganic substances are in a hardening process as they enter into the substance and the basis for bone development is given. Salt substances are taken up. If it increases it, organs are developed, the function of which is to dissolve the organic, taking it into the fluid or gaseous state. Let us assume the eye organization finds that the organism has not developed the amount of warmth that would allow the state of warmth to be adequately increased for the organs that need this. The result is that organs whose activity should go in the direction of dissolution develop hardening activity. A tendency that is healthy in bones becomes a pathological tendency in them. Bone, when it has been formed out by the eye organization, is an organ that is released from its sphere by the eye organization. It enters into a state where it is no longer inwardly taken hold of by the eye organization, but only in an external way. It is taken out of the sphere of growth and organization and now merely serves the eye organization in a mechanical capacity, performing the movements of the body. Only a residue of inner eye organization activity persists in it throughout life, for it has to remain part of the organization within the organism and must not drop out of life. The organs that for the above-mentioned reason may enter into bone-like development are the arteries. This results in calcification, sclerosis. The eye organization is driven out of these organ systems, as it were. The opposite is the case when the eye organization does not find the reduction in the warmth state that is necessary for the skeletal sphere. The bones then become similar to the organs that develop dissolving activity. Due to lack of hardening, they cannot provide a basis for the incorporation of salts. The final evolution of bony structures, which lies in the sphere of the eye organization, thus fails to take place. Astral activity is not stopped at the right point along the way. Tendencies to malformation must result, for healthy configuration can only develop in the sphere of the eye organization. These are the conditions known as rickets. It can be seen from all this how human organs relate to their functions. Bone develops in the sphere of the eye organization. When development has reached its conclusion, it serves this eye organization, which from now on no longer develops it, but uses it to effect voluntary movements. The same applies to anything that evolves in the sphere of the astral organization. Here, undifferentiated substances and forces are created. These occur throughout the body as the basis for differentiated organ development. Astral activity takes them to a certain level. After that, it uses them. The whole human organism is permeated with semi-fluid material in which astrally oriented activity takes place. This activity lives in separating off materials, which are utilized to develop the organism in the direction of its higher aspects. Matter separated off in that direction has to be recognized in glandular products that play a role in the economy of the organism and its functions. Apart from these separated off materials, which go inward in the organism, there are others which are actual eliminations to the outside. It would be wrong to see no more in them than parts of the food taken in for which the organism has no use, therefore ejecting it. What matters is not that the organism separates material off to the outside, but that it performs the functions which result in elimination. The performance of these functions holds an element which the organism needs to maintain itself. This activity is just as necessary as the one which consists in taking matter into the organism or depositing it within it. The essential nature of organic function lies in a healthy relationship between these two activities. In the eliminations to the outside, we thus see the outcome of astrally oriented activity. And when materials incorporated in the elimination have been taken to the inorganic level, the I organization also lives in them. And this life of the I organization does in fact have very special significance. For the energy used to effect such eliminations creates a counter-pressure going inward, as it were. And this is essential for the healthy existence of the organism. Uric acid, separated off in the urine, creates the right inclination for sleep in the organism as such, an inward counter-pressure. Too little uric acid in the urine and too much in the blood results in a period of sleep which is so short that it is not sufficient for the health of the organism. The end of chapter 12.